Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to Sikkim 365 Radio. It's time for our weekly segment with Grayson Grundhafer of Sikkim365.com. Brought to you by Pioneer Steel and Pipe, where customer service is their main focus. And best in metal, steel, and pipe for large or small projects. With two locations in Waco and Bryan. Family owned and operated since 1943.
Grayson Grundhafer, Sikkim365.com. Craig Smokes, host on the Bearcast as well. Our recruiting analyst, Grayson, the floodgates are open. What have you heard from players and their families so far about the process now being back to normal? And it's got to be a bit of a relief, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that's pretty obvious if you just kind of look through Twitter a little bit at the way that kids and their families have responded to kind of this open period after the 15-plus month delay that just happened with the dead period. And I think you can just tell there's a sense of relief and sense of just kind of, I guess relief is the best word, because everyone's just so excited to go to these campuses, get to meet coaches in person, and actually get a feel for the kind of program that each school has so that they can make a better decision for their future. And, you know, in today's age of transfer portal, it's so important that this process happens, because a lot of kids, I mean, you see it pretty much every day in the transfer portal, you know, kids leaving. And sometimes it's after just 1 year. And a lot of that has to do with just not picking the right place right out of high school. And so this process is such a big deal to hopefully alleviate some of those concerns and keep kids out of the transfer portal as much as humanly possible, even though, as we know, it's still going to happen regardless. But yeah, there's a lot of excitement. This is going to be a really fun time these next few months during the summer, and a really important time as well for every program and then every recruit.
So, Grayson, last night Baylor football put out a video just kind of showing the first team meeting of the summer, showed some guys, you know, being introduced or introducing themselves to the team, some of the newcomers. I think I saw Monterey Baldwin among them. But one of the things that was noted in that video was that Braden Utley, the junior defensive lineman from California, is now on scholarship. And that's led to some discussion on the board about where they are with scholarships. So where are they with scholarships now that we know Braden Utley is now on scholarship as well?
Yeah, so first of all, I need to say congratulations to Braden Utley, because that's a huge honor, mm-hmm. a huge moment, of course. And I think everyone watching last year kind of saw him out on the field and were kind of like, who is this guy that's made a few plays? Who is this? And obviously it ends up being Braden Utley. And last year he played a pretty big role in the time that he had and played a lot of snaps. So happy for him. But yes, Craig, as you mentioned, it's a pretty big deal because of the simple fact that scholarship pushes them to the 85 number. So I believe they are completely full right now. And I would say that I think that was always in their mind that they were going to give him a scholarship. I don't think this is really a crazy new development. I think after spring, they pretty much knew they were going to give him a scholarship, and then that was going to be their 85th guy, I guess you could say. But I do expect that Baylor will have more room as the summer progresses. It's really hard to go through an entire off season without any attrition. That's just not very common in college football these days. And so I think there will be some, but I don't think it will be a ton, if that makes sense. So, you know, Baylor might have room to add another transfer, maybe one, maybe two, but that's about it. So, yeah, right now they're at the 85 number, though.
Yeah, well, you know, I know that Kane Madden is off the board now. I mean, he was. I don't know if he was ever really on the board, but some of those guys, this offensive lineman thereafter, are kind of going off the board. So is this maybe a result of, well, the guys that maybe you'd be chasing in the transfer portal are kind of gone now?
No, that's actually the interesting part, because you would think that now that a lot of people have enrolled and now that everyone's kind of on campus, that the transfer portal would settle down and that there would be less kids that enter and therefore less options available. But I continue to see it every day. There are offensive linemen that enter the portal. There are defensive linemen that enter the portal. And there are just guys who Baylor, I think, have or at least would have some interest in if the spots were available. I mean, I think it was 2 days ago, Montana State lost a grad transfer offensive lineman, Connor Wood. 6'5", 315 pounds, and he was a first-team freshman All-American, a second-team All-American in 2019, and then his team didn't play in 2020, but he's going to be a guy who garners a lot of Power 5 interest, and I think if Baylor knew they had room, they would have a ton of interest in him, and so they've already reached out to him, as I know, and so Connor Wood is a guy who is an option, I would say. Now, the problem is the scholarship availability. But again, I think that more speaks to the fact that there are guys that are available and there are going to be guys who are available in the portal as summer progresses. And so I think it's going to be really important for the staff to continue to work that aspect on the recruiting end. And if guys do decide to leave, that they're pretty aware of the guys in the portal so they can maybe change course and decide to offer these type of prospects.
What's been the latest trend, if any, or has it been kind of quiet on just the offer front for high school players?
Yeah, it's actually been pretty quiet from a 2022 perspective. They really haven't put out a ton of offers recently. Of course, they're gearing up for camps, and that's going to happen all through June, and I think you'll see some more 2022 offers come from that. I will say the priority of the camps most times is a year out. And so 2023 is probably going to be where you see the biggest spike in offers. But you definitely will have a couple guys who show up at camp in the 2022 class and perform really well, compete really well, and Baylor just loves what they see from them and they're able to offer. And with the fact that there haven't been a lot of camps, you could see more than normal amounts of 2022 guys who get offered as they go to these various camps. And it's going to be a really, really interesting time period in the next month, because everyone is having camps and all of these recruits are kind of going all over the state, and then some are going nationally as well to go try to camp at various places out of state. So there's going to be a ton of offers and probably a lot of guys who were under the radar who kind of take that next step to being household names a little bit.
Grayson, there's some tennis news today. They snagged a transfer from TCU of all places. What do you know about the newest tennis transfer?
Yeah, that was actually a really interesting note that kind of popped up on my radar this morning, and it was kind of random. I was tagged in this tweet. I didn't really expect to be tagged in it, and so I saw it and read it and kind of went through and did a little bit of research, and I don't really want to mess up his name, but it is Tadeusz Perulak. That is how I believe his name is said. So he went to TCU for 2 years. He verbally committed to Baylor today. So I guess verbally means he has not officially signed. I haven't seen a release from Baylor yet, so it's probably just a commitment right now. But yeah, he played the five line for TCU. Of course, TCU was a top 10 team all year. They played Baylor in the Elite Eight. Baylor played them four times this year. So the Bears are very familiar with him. And, I mean, that should speak volumes to the reason why they wanted to get him and bring him in, because they've seen him play so much. And if you look at his record, he was 10-12 on the year, but 7-7 on the five line. At Baylor, he could probably play the five or the six line and probably be very serviceable for the Bears. And then the bigger area where he really played well was doubles. On the two line, he was 9-2 on the year with his partner. So very, very good and skilled in the doubles department. And obviously, Baylor's losing quite a few depth pieces to their roster. And he's a guy who could come in, and I believe he'll play right away. He had some good matchups against Baylor, played Charlie Broome three times, and he actually beat him twice. And Charlie was one of the more consistent Baylor players all year, one of the highest winners of his line in all of college tennis. So that should speak volumes to exactly what they're getting from Tadeus.
Grayson, am I correct in saying that you believe Jared Butler is the greatest Baylor athlete of all time? I feel like you've said that, but I couldn't be for sure.
So I definitely think he's the greatest Baylor basketball player of all time. And I have said that if he would have came back, that I think he would for sure be the greatest Baylor athlete of all time.
Okay.
The issue right now, as far as saying that he is, and it's an issue that I know can be argued till the end of time, but this year's team, as far as the national championship goes, you know, Davion Mitchell was terrific as well. So it kind of is one of those things where a lot of people argue who the better player was. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, he has the accolades to back up exactly what he did over his career, and that's the reason why I think he is the greatest Baylor basketball player of all time. He's also just such a good person off the court, really good ambassador of Baylor basketball, played on the team for 3 years. So, yeah, a really, really storied career. But, you know, there's a lot of really good athletes in the history of Baylor. RG3 comes to mind. I know a lot of people have talked about Michael Johnson. But again, you do have to look, when you do a comparison like that, it has to be what they did in college, not what they did after college, not what, you know, the talent that they could have had. But accolades wise, his stacks up with anyone in Baylor history. But athletics wise, like, if you just kind of threw a ball out there and said, okay, go do a vertical, go try to run sprints, go, you know, show me how athletic you are, then, I mean, I think it's probably RG3 or Michael Johnson for sure.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, the overall, that's to be an interesting debate maybe we could all have on the website, where just you get kind of assigned one and, like, make your case, or we pick one and, like, make your case for them being the best Baylor athlete of all, you know, the one who most contributions. And, like, a national championship in men's basketball, you know, being the, you know, kind of the leader of that team and the first guy of the, I mean, of all the other guys were transfers, but, like, the guy, you know, he was at Alabama so long, but he was the first guy of those guys that were here. So to me, I don't know. I mean, maybe Mark Vine, I don't know, like, but he was the first star of that team.
Yeah, I agree with that. And he was the guy. And we all saw it the freshman year. Just, he, you know what I mean? He made it his team very quickly. And, yeah, Davion obviously did that very well this year too. But he was only at Baylor for 2 years. And to be honest, he was good his sophomore year. But he took it up to a whole nother level this past year. I mean, his game changed immensely during their championship run. And I'll also say, I think a big part of the Jared Butler kind of argument is what he did in the Final Four, because he was not amazing at times last year, but when it mattered in those Final Four games, I mean, he was terrific against Houston and Gonzaga. But yeah, I would love to do that. There's been quite a few really, really good athletes in Baylor history, and probably some that are a little underrated. So yeah, I think it would be fun to give those guys some credit as well.
Grayson, final thing for you. We're going to talk to Zach Pyron here in a little while. He has been named an Elite 11 finalist. For those out there that don't follow, you know, these types of things quite closely, can you explain the meaningfulness of that invite, what that means for him moving forward? And I would imagine, you know, there's going to be a lot more eyeballs on him now as a result.
Yeah, guys. So it's a huge honor, an absolutely huge honor. It basically means he's one of the top 20 quarterbacks in the entire country. He got handpicked because of his performance in a regional, which took place in Nashville I believe like a month ago is when that actually took place. He performed really well from there. Everyone raved about what he was able to accomplish. He got the call from one of the guys who runs the Elite 11, Brian Stumpf. And after he got that call, he knew he was going to be in the Elite 11. And, I mean, Zach Pyron was so excited about it. So very happy for him. But, yes, essentially what's going to happen next is he'll go compete at the Elite 11 finals. And then depending on how he does, basically he's competing for a spot in the top 11. And if you make the top 11, then you're part of the Elite 11. And no Baylor quarterback currently on the roster has made it to that point. Jacob Zeno, Gary Bohannon, and Kyron Drones all got invited, but none of them made the final 11, even though I think Kyron Drones probably should have last year. So, yeah, it's a big-time honor. He's definitely a guy who's on the rise. He's already getting close to a borderline four-star after being, you know, one of the lower-ranked three-stars you can possibly be. So his recruitment's on the rise. I know Baylor's really happy with the fact that they were able to land him so early. And now he's just kind of getting ready for his official visit with Baylor. And outside of that, just getting ready to go compete and try to win the whole event. And why not?
Grayson Grudaver, Sigma365.com. Grayson, thanks as always. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Grayson Grudaver, the Bearcast, which you can download now. And you guys will do, it's every Tuesday, right? Unless otherwise, you know, unless something gets changed, but every Tuesday.
Sometimes on Wednesdays, it just kind of depends, but normally every Tuesday,
Normally every Tuesday for the Bearcast.